Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome back to the Hollow Sky Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Steven.
And Kyle.
And we are going into round four of the Bledsoe Saga. Kyle said that it should wrap it up today.
Yeah.
So again, we're just going to jump right into it after we get through the business and kind of go back to our regular scheduled programming next week or the week after sometime. Anyway, first off, if you haven't listened to the first three episodes, make sure you go back and check them out. They are in chronological order. It's important to do that before you listen to this one. Also, I forget what I was going to say, but the business. Check us out at all. It's getting late.
It is.
We're working on it.
And we just got done with a two-hour episode and then an interview right before that.
Yeah, going ham. But check us out at all our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and TikTok. Check us out. Come hang out. Be part of the community. You know the drill. If you have a listener experience you'd like to share for us to feature on a future show, Kyle's got a bit he's going to tell you.
Yeah, you can check the show notes. Our Hollow phone number's in there. You can give us a call here soon. I'm probably going to open the door for some interviews. That way we can just change the pace up a little bit after this giant Bledsoe saga and... Yeah, just have a good time. But as far as your experiences go, you can write them out, send them to any of the socials. You can text the holophone. You can call it, leave a message. Or you can write it out, send it to the email, which is going to be holoskypodcast@gmail.com. You can also record yourself and send that via email, Whichever way you want to do it, the floor is yours.
If you'd like to support the show, we have a bunch of ways you can do it. We have a merch store. Go and check out our t-shirts. We have a Patreon. Find a peer you like or a tier you like and pick one. You can support us that way. We have a Venmo. You can throw us some monster change in there. Thanks to everybody that supports us and keep the show going.
Absolutely.
It's wonderful. You guys are amazing. Everybody's amazing. All of our listeners. Best thing you can do is word of mouth. Spread the Hollow Sky word. Just get the more listeners we get, the better. The bigger of a platform we can produce, and the more content we can produce, and just get it all out there. I was gonna say something else, but I forget. I don't know. But yeah, just tell everybody to listen to us. And oh yeah, leave it. You can keep leaving us ratings and reviews too. Those are cool.
Yeah, we appreciate
that. That's what I was gonna say. We'll get back to shouting them out once we get through this Bledsoe saga as well. But that being said, we're going in for round four, the conclusion of the Bledsoe saga.
So, in 2013, Chris gets a call to attend an event called The Gathering. No, it's not the Juggalos.
I was taking a drink of Monster, and I was going to say it.
No, I knew it. So,
if these beings are Juggalos,
it would make way too much sense.
I'll quit the podcast.
So Chris initially has reservations about going, but ends up deciding to go. He calls Dr. Pasalka and asks her to attend, and she accepts. When Chris gets off the plane and gets on the bus, he sits next to a Grant Cameron. They hit it off very quickly and became dear friends. One day, Grant calls Chris and says, "Hey, I have a congressional thing, and after that, I'm driving to Florida for a UFO conference. On the way down, would it be cool if I stopped by and spent some time with you?" Chris is like, "Yeah, of course." So Grant stops by, hangs out with Chris, and then leaves to go to Florida. Well, after the conference, Grant calls Chris again and says, "Hey, I'm on my way back. Would it be all right if I stopped by again? I didn't get enough pictures of that tree, the one that was burning." So Chris says, "Of course, come on back by. We'll be here." When Grant finally gets there, he gets out of his vehicle and goes straight to that tree. Chris and him are standing around the tree taking pictures, and a black lab walks up and hangs out with the guys. Now, the black lab was Chris's dog named Nelly. They start back to the house, and she's following them. They reach the back patio where the rest of the family was hanging out, and the lab was still with them. After a minute, Chris asks Grant, you know, he's like, "Hey, would you want to go in and have a seat, chat, you know, use the restroom, get a drink, whatever?" Grant turns, you know, he's like, "Yeah, sure." So Grant turns around and he's headed for the door. Well, the black lab is kind of like what most dogs will do. They'll try to beat you inside. It tries to cut in front.
Classic Frank move.
Right. Well, all of a sudden, blood starts squirting from the dog's neck. They even have pictures of blood all over Grant's pant legs. So the dog tries, it basically runs into the door, spraying blood everywhere. Chris runs in and tackles the dog and picks her up and carries her out to the patio. Chris puts his hand over her neck trying to cover the wound. And, you know, at this point he looks up at Grant and is kind of freaking out, saying she's gonna die. And all of a sudden, he feels the dog relax. Chris asks for a towel to cover up the wound. When Chris lifts his hand to place the towel there, he notices there was like an inch and a half gash on the side of her neck. Well, in this moment, the gash vanishes. She stands up, wags her tail, and walks away.
What?
Yeah. So Chris calls his scientist friends and they ask him to do this and that, things that he, at this point, really can't elaborate on for some reason. Chris says, from this experience here, Chris says, "I get roped into cancer research, stem cell research, among other stuff."
From the dog.
From that experience. How bizarre is that? That from that experience, he gets wrapped into the medical field.
Which, I mean, essentially, if it is...
Does it make sense?
If it's linked to the beings possibly healing the dog, I could see that.
The only way that it would work for me in my brain,
yeah,
is if they took that dog and tried taking blood samples, skin samples,
to
see if there was something that they could trace within that animal. Therefore, pulling cells from like
unless
reverse bioengineer in a way.
Unless they thought that they, like the Pentagon, they thought that maybe he could get this technology or this medical information from these beings.
Hey, that's a possibility, you
know,
as well.
Just kind of working through him. I don't know. That is weird.
And I know that Chris doesn't really elaborate too much on some of this stuff, but he has since taken part in helping heal people. But he's adamant that he's not the one helping these people. He claims he's helped very important people, which he does not elaborate on. Richard Dolan asked to speak more on that, but Chris insists that he doesn't want to make it about himself. He has to stay humble. But he said that it's taken him as far as Washington to help people. So he's helped very big names in regards of healing. There was a woman named Chase Kletsky. She spoke with Richard about an experience she had on the Bledsoe property. They were part of an investigation, and the things got a little crazy, as Richard Dolan states. It sounds like Chase is a very close friend of Mr. Bledsoe. On Saturday night, Chris was outside by the fire, and he saw two white orbs in the sky. They appeared out of nowhere. All of a sudden, they come down at a high rate of speed. As they got closer, they changed their color to orange. Chris notices that changes to white and flashes four times. They stop behind his house a little ways. Then the other one flashes white, and then they both take off to the west. Well, Sunday, this Chase calls Chris and asks if he knows where St. Paul is. He says, yes, it's not far from where I live. At this point, Chris stops her and explains. He's like, let me tell you what happened Saturday. She's like, okay. And then you can tell me what you have going on. So Chase is like, okay. So he tells her about the orbs and whatnot. And she's like, oh, wow. Well, she gets a call regarding a case with some ghost hunters that reached out. They went out to an abandoned house to investigate. The ghost hunters walked out of the back door of this house and started to explore the woods. And they actually ended up witnessing the same orbs Chris had witnessed. The orbs put on a light show for them. Not long after this, the group experienced missing time. The group ended up witnessing a figure next to a tree. And of this group, there were two that were cops. They were so terrified by this figure, they started to shoot at it because they had their firearms on them. So Chase asked Chris if he would be interested in going with her to this location to investigate it. Chris is like, yeah, sure, why not? They linked up with the group because, so now at this point, Chris and Chase are linking up with this ghost hunter group that had investigated it the night before. So they start investigating. They go all through the house. When Chris walked through a door, he lost his balance, almost like something had pushed him. So, believe it or not, at this point, Chris is like, yeah, that's just a little too scary for me. I'm going to go outside and chill. So he waits for all of them to get done, and they leave the house and decided to walk across the way towards where the ghost hunter group had this experience. So they walk to the tree line. Within the tree line, there's a cabin. And it's a cabin that's basically fallen apart. Well, they investigate it. Nothing really happens. So they walk out of the back door. And they walk across this ditch straight into the forest. They walk about 100 100 yards or so, and they come to a clearing with a power line running through it. They don't see much, so they start to head back towards the cabin. So at this point, Chris must have felt some type of way because he started to sing a song so that the beings couldn't read his thoughts. All of a sudden, everyone starts to become afraid, and one of them pulls his gun out again. When I'm assuming they're stopped, and Chris says that he sees a pair of green eyes appear from behind a tree. And Chris taps Chase on her shoulder and says, "Look." Well, she sees it too. It was a 6 to 7 foot tall entity that leaned around the tree and was staring at them. It was roughly 20 feet away from these two. Chris estimated they were roughly 50 feet from the cabin at this point. So after this entity had left, they crossed the ditch, which should have put them right back at the cabin. But as they crossed this ditch, they ended up back at the power line that they had seen earlier. So somewhere in there, they got turned around and...
Or moved.
And Chris said, "We have missing time." He refrained from telling anyone because at this point, everyone was already stressed and super scared. So they started to head back to the cabin again, a rough 15-minute walk, and this time they made it to the cabin. A few days later, Chase calls Chris and says, "You aren't going to believe what happened." Chris says, "We experienced missing time, didn't we?" She's like, "How did you know that?" He's like, "I just assumed that because we got so turned around, and I figure we probably lost roughly 15 minutes of time." Well, the ghost hunter group, they were a pretty advanced ghost hunter group. They had cameras and everything. Like, they had helmet cams on, all these different types of cameras. And I guess they were able to verify through watching these videos that there was about a 14-minute section that they couldn't account for.
Oh, I hate that.
Right.
I hate that so much.
And then at this point, I'm listening to Ryan and Chris talk, and they're talking about some of the experience. I noticed some pretty interesting things, and this is kind of going back to earlier in the last episode where Chris says that his friends at NASA and the Vatican warn him of these orb beings. They said that if we were to touch them, these orbs, their energy was more than enough to kill you. These beings don't mean any harm, but if you do touch them, it'd almost be like grabbing a power line. They would kill you instantly. Chris was also sent pictures from within the Vatican of paintings of orbs with angels coming out of them. So it kind of aids in Chris's narrative here, you know. I also saw, and if anybody's interested, Mr. Bledsoe has an Instagram page, and he posts videos and pictures of these lights in the sky all the fucking time. He even posted a bunch of orb pictures where it shows beings within these orbs. It's fucking weird. Like, I'll see if I can't pull one up real quick. Because there's one.
That sucks.
There's one that Chris writes. He thinks it was his son that passed away. And I hate to fucking say it, but it really does look like there's a damn baby inside here. You see it?
Yeah, that's kind of creepy.
You see the baby's face?
Yeah. It's got its head tilted.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, it's not hard to point out.
That's weird.
Not hard to point out at all.
Again, just like the last episode, it's like it is playing on his emotional state.
For sure. It's so weird.
It's like a cosmic gaslighting is what it is.
And I mean, the fucked up thing is like, I legitimately, without like no joking, I have probably listened to Mr. Bledsoe talk, like audio time, I've listened to about 6 hours of this man talking. Easy. And I'm telling you right now that the way he talks, like I am very, very particular about people's choice of words, the tones, their body language, choice of words, everything. I'm very particular about how you use them. And nothing about this man tells me he's lying.
Oh,
in over 6 hours of audio, there's not one part of me that goes, this man's lying.
Oh, just from what I read in his statement or what I've heard you talk about in his statements, I don't think he's lying for a second. I think he has experienced everything that he says he's experienced.
I do too.
I don't think what he's experiencing
is what he thinks it is.
Is what he thinks it is.
Yeah. I could definitely see that. Another thing that is pretty interesting. So Chris, you know, now obviously has at least a connection or two at the Vatican. Now, apparently from secret parts within the Vatican, it was revealed to Chris that St. Francis of Assisi, who was known for having a case of stigmata, well, apparently they were able to basically clarify that it was actually rheumatoid arthritis, right?
His stigmata?
Yes.
Interesting.
It was basically more or less the description with the symptoms surrounding St. Francis's stigmata. Well, it just so happens that Chris has rheumatoid arthritis. Now, apparently, according to the CIA and people from within the Vatican, you can get rheumatoid arthritis from coming in contact with these beings.
Damn, my grandma has rheumatoid arthritis.
And apparently they did a study. They took a bunch of people who I guess claimed to have experiences with these, with things like this, and almost all of them had rheumatoid arthritis.
That is so weird.
Yep.
What in the hell?
Chris says that the excited state of these orbs can actually gene split a person, like cause gene splits. And it all has to do with some type of plasma discharge. And I'm also listening to what they're saying, and they bring up aliens and being able to communicate through thoughts like these beings can, or how they cannot. And this part kind of blows me away a little bit, because they're trying to like relay how I think they more or less picture aliens on a level of like us, because Chris and his son don't think that aliens can communicate telepathically. And we've heard more than enough cases.
Oh yeah.
Going the opposite direction. But furthermore, he doesn't think that aliens can do it, nor would they care about Chris and his particular set of suffering. And
does he, so he doesn't think that they would be aliens because he doesn't think the aliens would care.
Yeah.
But he does think that whatever this divine creator is
does
care enough.
Yeah. Which, you know, I counter that, and I countered it in the last episode where we've heard more than enough examples of Draco's leeching negativity off the human race. Like, that's why they, that's why there's so much negativity in the world, is because they feed off of it. And it's not the first time I've heard it. And that's just in regards to the Dracos. There's other things out there that supposedly leech off all the negativity we breed.
Oh yeah. You hear that with demonic encounters and all sorts
right.
of shit. Like,
exactly. Exactly. And it, I kind of, man, I, how to go into this.
Now I want to look into rheumatoid arthritis and see if people that have rheumatoid arthritis have like some sort of common.
Well, there's like during Ryan and Chris's conversation, and Ryan being his son, they claimed that Chris got his rheumatoid arthritis when he was being pulled up through the, in the last episode, he got pulled up through the attic and stuff.
Yeah.
That he came in contact with them there. And then Ryan kind of, and I'm not trying to like discredit him or anything they say, but he claims that more or less from the Vatican's description, from the St. Francis of Assisi and the rheumatoid arthritis, like he puts the whole like having stigmata onto his father.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm trying to convey here?
I see.
Like, essentially, his dad had stigmata to a degree.
I see. I'm trying to look up.
Like, I feel like.
If there's any. I'm trying to find information that says that St. Francis had rheumatoid arthritis.
Well, this was apparently from. Deep within the Vatican.
Oh. So I won't be able to
you could probably find that he had stigmata.
Oh yeah, that's I knew that.
Yeah, that's what I'm but that's this was revealed from secret parts of the Vatican that it actually translated to rheumatoid arthritis, but that's not as cool of a story.
No, people do not want to hear that.
Oh
people,
no.
People want
no.
Crucifixion wounds, not yeah. sore knuckles.
So, I don't know. Take that for what you will.
That's,
now, another thing that
does like it's almost like they're driving the religious narrative.
Yeah, there's a bunch of different factors, man.
Like now he was the supreme being chose Chris to put the message out, and now he's also suffering from the stigmata, which isn't actually the stigmata; it's just rheumatoid arthritis. But we're gonna spin that web a little bit,
yeah.
You know,
and then furthermore that Ryan kind of puts that onto his father, like this whole like
yeah, like he's
religious kinda, stigmata deal. It's just it was weird, right?
I feel that feels like a long grasp, like they were really reaching for that one.
Yeah, it's kind of where I was at with it, and it's just funny because like. And this is the interview. You can find it on Bledsoe Said So. You can find it on the YouTube.
And I'm not discrediting anyone. Like I'm not trying to throw shade or anything like that.
No.
That just seems like a reach to me.
Yeah, and I don't know. Like I feel like that was more Ryan placing that onto his father than his father actually accepting that.
Yeah, it makes
because Chris is ultra humble. Like. He doesn't even want to talk about all the cases in which he's helped people. Like, he's helped a woman come out on his property. She had, like, stage 4 lung cancer. He helped, or not him, but these beings helped cure her. Like, Chris wants to be a healer. He wants to help people. Like, he has nothing but pure fucking intentions. He wants this all to be positive. He wants humanity to be saved. He wants a bunch of good in the world. Yeah. You can tell by listening to this guy. They get in this conversation about the yin and yang of Earth, how dark forces are here, and this is a fight of good and evil.
Isn't that weird that we just talked about that with Burton too?
Right, and then not to mention, like I even write, you know, I'm baffled by these statements because we hear this so often. We heard it, Brotherhood of the Snake, once again, how you had the two factions, and then we hear about it in I forget the name, but it was our Super Soldier episode where the guy talked about warring factions within all of this, within the Illuminati, within this, how you have this good and evil faction and they're fighting for control. And you just see that narrative so much in a lot of these things, and warring factions within the CIA and this and that and the other, and just very ironic. Another thing that is very particular, and I found it interesting, Chris said that these beings wear a triangle on their chest, which is the Trinity, the universal creation of life, the power of three. What's in our logo? The triangle.
The whole thing,
No, just like our original OG one, triangle.
Yeah. Weird. What's hanging right there on the
wall? Yeah, it's very, very synchronistic, very weird. And like I said, could just 100% be me drawing lines that aren't there. I will fully admit that in anything that I suggest.
Dude, it's, now that I'm thinking back into other episodes and other information we stumbled across, and
a lot of it, like, just pieces fall into place. It's just really weird.
Kind of.
Like this, a lot of this is like runs right with Stardust. And it's just, it's really weird. I don't know. Chris and Ryan also get to talking about, we're going to finally be like with this. This is all supposed to happen in 2026. But we're supposed to be being updated on how we were created and how it was an evolution. And this is what the lady directly tells Chris. And ironically enough, you know, Ryan brings up that in Hindu religion, apparently teaches that in 2025, the age of darkness will end. So according to the woman who's of light, you know, this new enlightenment is going to happen in 2026.
I see.
During one of Chris's encounters, he witnessed a being, and it told him the awakening is coming and they are going to help him tell the story through video, pictures, and experiences. They also warned him danger is coming and a change. They brought up, you know, and this was prior to COVID, and then this was, they warned them of danger coming. These beings did not specifically tell them about COVID or any pandemic coming. Now, you know, Ryan brought up the fact that not long after he had this warning, that's when the pandemic started. So there is a possible correlation there.
So sometimes they'll warn him of premonitions that are specific enough to send to the Pentagon, but other times they're just vague.
I think every time Chris gets something, he does send it to the Pentagon, from what I understand.
Yeah.
So they get to talking about these beings and how some people can't see them and some, you know, or how some people can see them and some can't. Chris thinks that some people just aren't wired to see them, and that if your soul or if you are not ready to see these beings, that it can like really distort your reality. It can mess up your life, borderline kill you.
Yeah.
Right.
That's kind of like the line that I said, like maybe we're not supposed to see these things, you know?
Right.
Maybe we have all these defense mechanisms set into our brains to where, like I said at the end of the last episode, where he could be staring in the face of something that we can't even fathom.
Oh, for sure.
He sees the most beautiful woman he's ever seen. I like I said, I just picture in my head him standing there just in awe, just an absolute enthrallment, just enamored. And we all see like this giant, just unspeakable abomination.
That would be so terrifying.
Standing there just saying, isn't she beautiful?
It would be so terrifying.
Can you feel the love?
It would be so terrifying.
We can't close the door because it's already been opened.
Yeah, and then, you know, in that video, you know, they even acknowledge how 2012 was a very significant year. They bring up CERN fired off that year, and we've talked about how 2012 was a very significant year.
I was thinking about that the other day, like, what the fuck happened in 2012? Because everything started changing.
So, you know, once again, I'm going to redouble down on this. I 100% believe Mr. Bledsoe. I 100% believe he's experiencing something. I can almost tell without a doubt Mr. Bledsoe is a very sweet and humble and genuine person. Like, I don't think this man has an ill will in his body at all. I really don't. With that being said, we get into some conversation here that I don't particularly like, but I feel like I have to bring it to light. I feel like me and Steve are very honest people. We pride ourselves on telling the truth from our set of eyes. Now, it doesn't mean that you and me are right. Absolutely not.
No, I was going to chime in with that. Like, we may not be right, but we will never lead people purposely astray.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And
we might not have all the answers, but we will put out there what we do have.
Right.
And when shit doesn't pan out, like, we'll be the first ones to tell you, like, yo, we were duped.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Yeah. And we've actually done it.
Yeah.
We don't
have anything to gain by fucking, like, enhancing any of, like,
no.
Like, shit is weird enough on its own.
Yeah, exactly. And I bring all that up because during this 2-hour interview with Ryan and his dad, there was a statement made. I'm not going to lie, it borderline offended me. Like, it really did. It, like,
my ears perk now.
Like, it broke my heart, man. It really did. Like, the disregard, like, I have invested a lot of time into this case, and it has made me feel incredible. It's made me feel scared. It has borderline changed the way I think about things. It's expanded my thought process. Like, it's done a lot for me. And I don't know. I'll just get into it. So there's a part where Ryan, you know, they're talking about these entities, and Ryan gets into how in the Irish lore, you can relate these beings to it. Like, he equates the Fae realm now with these beings of light and how they are possibly the same thing, right? And then Mr. Bledsoe goes into, well, before I get there, this is ironic, because prior, I should have started this before I said the fairy part, but prior to this, they go into this, like, karmic talk where you should not talk ill of anyone, because by talking ill of someone, you are putting negative forces into the universe. Yeah,
that
right?
Makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah, and it's this whole, like, karmic thing, and, like, you just shouldn't, because that ill will can come back to you.
Yeah, you get what you give.
Exactly. So keep that in mind. And like I said, Ryan is equating these beings of light with fairies, and Chris goes into how these beings can basically be everything. Middle Eastern genies, demons, goblins, fairies, ETs. And then Chris goes into how people accuse him of selling religion because he's too close to religion, which, in all fairness, and I'm not defending the opposite here, but you can almost assume that would be people's go-to, right? Because Chris has already admitted he grew up hyper-religious.
Oh, yeah,
so
And
it's fair to say that he's seeing all of this through a particular set of lenses, right?
Yeah.
What are you going to say?
He's contradicted himself, because in the last episode, he states during his regression or during the episode that they are not demons.
Yes.
That he actually hated that people referred to them as demons.
Right.
Not hated is a strong word, but I'm just like throwing that out there.
Yeah.
But now he's saying that they can be demons.
Yeah. Yeah. He says that they can basically be whatever they want to be. They can turn into whatever they want. Good. And I would also assume with the demon part of it, maybe because he has referenced there are good ones and bad ones.
Yeah. Or of the entities.
But I don't. About. Yeah, I don't know if it's of the same entities, right?
Yeah, because I mean, like, you know me, I'm all aboard the train that all of this weird shit is at least falling under the same umbrella. If it's not all the same entity.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, no, I understand your point of view, and I'm
not necessarily a single entity.
Okay.
But like,
I could all of it be from a different dimension vein, so to speak.
Yeah. And we are just putting it into our own life's the only way we can put it together, whether it be a demon,
that's
whether
possible.
It be a fairy, whether it be a Bigfoot, you know, like it's 100% we're just trying possible. To make the best sense out of it.
100% possible. And you know what? I'm not even going to throw out, I would never do this. You know, Ryan and his father, Chris, they have their own view on the paranormal and on all of it. And that's fair. Like, that's 100%. They could be 100% right.
That's the best part about being in the paranormal community.
Right. And you can tell. If you want to, go watch that interview because you can tell. There are things that Ryan and his father are privy to that we don't know about. Yeah. Because there are a lot of, like, inside innuendos in there where he's like, Ryan will be like, Dad, do you want to talk about this? He's like, we don't have to name names. We don't have to point finger. And then Chris kind of like dances away from it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So there's a lot of context that we are not getting here, you know, and for whatever reason, a lot of it could very well be NDAs. You know, if he's really in tight with the government, I'm guaranteed there's a lot of NDAs going on. Yeah. But here is the part that actually offended me. You know, because Chris says that it's mostly UFO people who are accusing him of selling religion. Ryan chimes in with, Dad, let me give you some advice. Never take anything that anyone from the UFO world tells you seriously. And Chris says, I don't. And I'm kind of like, that kind of makes me feel fucked up.
Yeah, it's almost like he has completely written that aspect off.
100%.
To him, it is 100% religious.
But he goes as far as to say, don't take anything from anyone in this camp serious at all.
Yeah.
Like that just
that is
just
a disservice.
That just completely nukes everyone who believes in extraterrestrial. You're done. Goodbye. Out of my life. Yeah. Now, being that I'm a smart person, well, not really. Anyways, we'll avoid that topic. But I'm an understanding person. So with that, could it be because I don't know how they think and I don't know. They got burnt by MUFON.
I was just going to say that.
So
I was just going to
say, is there that. A little bit of saltiness there yet?
Bad taste in their mouth from the whole MUFON thing.
Oh, yeah.
They've written the whole community off.
And
it furthers. And
what he says, now when he says UFO world, is he implying MUFON? Organizations. Maybe he's not implying like everybody that, like you and me, that are like, aliens.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah,
it's more of the orchestrated side of it. Yeah. I'm just trying to give benefit of the doubt here.
Yeah. And,
is more or less what I'm trying to do.
When they downplay that aspect of Chris's encounter, it just puts the whole religious aspect of his encounter.
Yeah. Well, it gets
pushes
better.
Up further. It gets up.
It gets better.
Oh.
As far as
I feel like it's by better you were being facetious.
A little bit.
Okay,
copy. A little bit. You know, I don't know. I'm trying to give the benefit of the doubt. You know, and to be fair, like, I also see it from, if he's going down this angle, is he going down the angle of, like, I explained to my wife, you know, like, me and Steve, we're super honest guys, and we don't give a shit about nothing. So, if me and Steve were to
make a t-shirt that says that, honest guy, super honest, don't give a shit about nothing.
Like, if you and me were out hunting Bigfoot, and we got video of Bigfoot, we have already talked about this. We would post that video, and 90% of people would go, oh, that's fake. That's CGI. That's this or whatever. Me and Steve would literally go,
okay,
we don't give a shit what you think. We know what we saw.
Yeah, that's what it boils down to.
And like,
I'd be like, okay.
Maybe that UFO statement falls in that vein. But like I said prior to all this, I'm very big on the way you articulate, the way your body language is.
Somebody made a snarky remark or a stupid facial expression, and now Kyle's fucking fired up.
I'm not really fired. I was offended.
Now Kyle is disappointed.
Out there, that's a good word. That's a good word. Disappointed. And then it gets a little bit wonkier because Chris starts to break this down. And he says that, you know, at this point in our lives, the government is allowing people to look into and investigate a phenomena, whether it's UFOs or these celestial beings. They're allowing people to investigate it. And he says, so if the general public were to type UFO into Google, they would basically get 70 years of UFO disinformation. And Ryan chimes in, and also Bledsoe said so.
Hey, Holocult, the weather's getting nice, and you know what that means. It's cryptid hunting season. And the first rule to cryptid hunting is good footwear. That's why we're excited to announce our partnership with Tecovas Boots. When you're out hunting the Dogman or stalking Chupacabra, you don't have time to break in boots. That's why Tecovas is so nice. They have first wear comfort. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with their styles when you're out hunting cryptids.
And let me tell you, their styles are on point. I've always considered getting me a pair of snakeskin boots, and their pair is mint. They also have crocodile boots, caiman boots, ostrich boots, regular leather boots. They have it all, and it's ridiculously awesome. You can even stop by the local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. So just imagine yourself getting a pair of legitimate snakeskin Hollow Sky branded boots. How awesome would that be?
Nothing is going to intimidate a dog man like a nice pair of gator skin boots. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's TECOVAS.com. They offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
So what Chris is claiming here is that for the past 70 some odd years, the government has been writing a narrative to completely and utterly discredit the arrival of these celestial beings.
Oh, I understand now.
So they're that way, when people look to the sky, they're doing it in fear and not acceptance.
They're wanting, their narrative is that the government is pushing the UFO agenda.
To snuff out the religious agenda.
Snuff out the religious being agenda.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah, that kind of makes me feel a little disheartened, a little bit. Because I'm going to tell you, like, personally, and I 100% I believe Mr. Bledsoe had an experience. I'm not going to dispute it. But there are factors to this, like when you listen to conversations about how Ryan kind of like, he plugs his reach a lot throughout these conversations. And I'll be 100% honest with you. Like I said, I looked into the Bledsoes a lot. I read a lot of comments, and there are a lot of people that find that distasteful in a way that it, because he's pushing his podcast so hard, because he's pushing a movie narrative so hard, that it's making people start to question, are you doing this for money?
It's discrediting.
That's what it's doing.
Yeah.
That's what it's doing. And then, not to mention, you just took a giant dump on the UFO community.
It makes me wonder if it's true, if they really believe that the government is pushing the UFO narrative to discredit the divine being narrative. Why is the Vatican so against it?
That's a good point.
The Vatican has
actually a really good point.
Has nothing but to be able to stand there and say, we were right all along. We were right since day one that there is a higher power.
And the Vatican, ironically enough, the Vatican said, don't touch these things.
Yeah.
Because they'll fuck you up.
Because they are not.
Oh, man.
Divine
beings. That brings a whole new level of confusion to this conversation.
I know we haven't done an episode on Max Spears yet, but I had started.
Yeah, you need to do that because it's a really fucked up case.
I started researching it, and I'm pretty sure if I remember right, Max Spears goes on to state that what we think when we hear the term abduction, being taken out of your house and all the things that Bledsoe encountered, as well as like 95% of other abduction encounter, he said they are not what we think they are. He said that they are done by the government.
I can see that.
Which almost fuels a UFO narrative.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
I still think that, if I had to take a shot at this, I feel like some of them, which I think you brought it up to me before, they're like, there's specifics around it, but I feel like some of them are 100% the government. And if you think about it from the government standpoint, well, I mean, if aliens can do it and run a bunch of fucked up tests, why can't we do it and run a bunch of fucked up tests?
Oh, yeah.
You know? But I also believe that aliens are behind some of it, because like my experience alone, I feel like they were not from this world. Right. Yeah. And then if you want to factor in like the way your boy talked those times.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what
I'm
saying? Like,
absolutely. It's it like because he didn't even like with that he didn't even know what an alien abduction was, you know?
Right.
And for him to reference it exactly like that, it just
it's crazy.
Yeah, I
100% crazy.
I don't know, man. And if it almost like if you have. I'm just going to reference them as cosmic beings. If you have cosmic beings interacting with humanity on a scale like they're interacting with Chris, emotional, all sorts of things, physical, and you are a government and you cannot stop it. You have no way to prevent them from fucking with all of your people. But you don't want your people to know and freak out. You start pushing narratives. Oh, it's angels. It's religion. And then you're like, well, not everybody believes in that. Right. So it's UFOs. There's abductions. There are aliens. It's almost like each angle is trying to keep you
in check
from what is really there.
Yeah.
And when you dig into it, they're like, no, don't look into it. Don't look into it. And it's like, it's almost like they surround the people in those camps with people who further the narrative of those camps, you know?
Yeah, it's like living fucking current politics. Everybody gets in their own little echo chambers, you know, and they're afraid to hear outside. Because don't get me wrong, I live in my own fucking echo chamber, right? I like, and we've talked about it, like, and it's one thing that it kind of made me mad about the UFO statement, because like when I think of extraterrestrials, ETs, whatever, however you want, I think that it is highly possible that there is an advanced civilization somewhere within our universe, our dimension, from another planet that is smart enough and advanced enough.
Excuse me.
To travel here. That's what I think of as alien, because it doesn't matter if there's a fucking cat on Pluto. That would be grounds for us labeling it as an alien, right?
Right, correct. Extraterrestrial, outside of this world.
That's what I mean. So I'm also cool with the fact that there are other things out there. Whether it's in our universe, whether it's in a dimensional state, whether it's in a fucking heaven. Like, I'm okay with that too. Like, I just, me personally, I despise when people just go, no.
Can't be.
This is all, everything paranormal is from these light people.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm not good with that.
That is the best and the worst of the paranormal community. The best part is that everybody can have a different theory and nobody knows what's right.
Right.
But the worst part is that there's so much like animosity and so much like cult like what's the word I'm looking for? Loyalty.
Yeah.
Cult-like loyalty to your specific narrative that a lot of times nothing outside of that exists.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair. But and to almost counter-argue myself, so say I sat down with Mr. Bledsoe, and he was like, no, Kyle, everything is from these light beings. And I'm like, well, I don't buy it. I don't like that narrative, but... I may still not agree with that narrative, but if he was like, but listen, Kyle, these light beings have the ability to create. They created Bigfoot. They created this. They created that from their seed, essentially. And then I would go, I mean, I could see that. I could totally 100% see that possibility, okay? Doesn't mean I have to like it. Doesn't mean I have to subscribe to it. But I can see your thought process. I can see... how, okay, maybe I am wrong. Maybe this is the way that it all actually happened. But until I have proof sitting in front of me, I also have to go with the way that I view the world. Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I'm not going to shit on him for feeling some type of way. That's just rude, irresponsible, and you just throw whatever else you want on top of that. And it's just like how you are in this camp of this interdimensional thing. And whereas it doesn't necessarily fit my narrative, but I 100% see where you're coming from. You know what I mean? I would never be like, no, fucking Steve's wrong, guys. He's an idiot. I'm right.
That much. Part of that statement is
everything is from Jupiter. Okay? They're all aliens. Everything's aliens. No, it's just... I just live in a world where I like everything to be, it's like Bigfoot is fucking Bigfoot, okay? Aliens are aliens, demons are demons. Like, there's this vast...
Compartmentalize the paranormal.
Yeah, I mean, in a nutshell, but it's not. It's opening everything up for its own lineage, its own tree, and that's how I like to view it. It doesn't mean that I'm right, it's also a way for my brain to process it as well.
Yeah.
You know, and then not to mention, it makes for great conversation how we like we always say, we're not on the same road, but we're trying to get to the same destination. Yes. We're just taking different paths. And every once in a while, our paths are like, ooh, look at this. There's an intersection here where we can link up. Yep. You know, and that's what it's all about. In my opinion, that's what it's about.
You can't to write off something just dead nuts is doing a disservice to any kind of research and any kind of experimentation you're doing into a subject.
Right, you know I agree. I mean?
Like that's
100% agree. Like, but Mr. Bledsoe is like, and you know what? There might be parts of this story that we don't know that are extremely crucial in the way that he thinks.
I'm sure there is. I'm sure there is.
You know what I'm saying? So we are kind of saying everything we're saying from an incomplete standpoint.
Just from the information that we have.
Yes. We can't do any more than that.
Because I feel like it probably was such a life-altering experience for him. But it is...
He's lucky his brain's still intact, in my opinion.
It is for everybody that's been abducted, you know?
Absolutely.
Like, look at Travis Walton. Look at the Allagash abductions. Like, all of those people's lives were drastically altered.
Absolutely.
And absolutely. Maybe this whole religious aspect is just his coping mechanism.
It could be.
As to how he's handling it psychologically.
100% could be.
But there's just things that he has said and things that he states that the beings have said that does not add up.
You're right.
With something looking out for us.
100% right.
Because in that first regression, he talks about being so scared.
Yeah.
So scared. Crying scared. Yep. Grown man crying scared. But this is spawned from a being that wants no fear. Like,
yeah. All love.
There could have been 100. If you're, like I said, an omnipresent, omnipotent being, there is 100 million other ways you could have went about that.
Well, and think about it too. If they're as powerful as he claims to be and as people claim to be, if they have the ability, because like Chris has stated that by these lights that come across his property, once he makes contact with them, once he is visually looking at them or what have you, it's almost like he experiences one of these downloads where information gets put into his head and this, that, and the other. If all that's possible with this powerful being, you would think that like you would have no choice, but when you turn to look at it, you would just feel love and
yeah,
you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, cause it should be powerful enough to like, hey, 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 hey,
you're good.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I know I look fucked up, but
instead,
like, cause he even describes it when he goes to meet the mother, like he doesn't see anything in the light, but he feels this love coming from the, you know what I'm saying? Like
it eased him, but
yes,
at that point, but at the beginning
it didn't,
he was terrified.
Yeah. He was like, fuck all this.
It was 100%.
Yeah.
It was 100% textbook abduction.
Yeah, without question.
Which is nothing but a traumatic event.
Yeah.
A terrifying, fear-filled horror show.
Yeah.
Which they could have avoided if they were this powerful.
Yeah, absolutely.
And on top of that, you had a bunch of other people experience this.
Yeah.
You had a dude shoot at the UFO. that didn't get any reassurance from these beings that want just love and not fear.
That's a good point too.
You know,
so they just get to be scared.
Yeah, if a dude was scared enough to where he's taking pot shots at a UFO,
and not to mention, if you remember, every one of these guys thought the world was ending. They were being invaded.
Yeah, that's I'm feeling the love.
I mean, that's a really good point, dude.
That's what I'm saying. If you are the almighty creator, and your prime objective, which is what they stated 100 times in the regressions, they don't want fear. They just want love. They don't want fear. They just want love. You picked a scary ass way to go about it.
Yeah, but the whole time I'm reading that other regression, I know I keep referencing this, but it does remind me of the possibility of Brotherhood of the Snake. How and you pointed it out too. Like, what if these beings are the darkness?
They're
the ones just straight jack flipping the narrative. That crossed
my mind too when they're like, there's other beings out there and there's other entities out there that are going to tell you that we're bad.
Yeah.
But don't listen to them. Like,
it sounds like what a bad person would say.
That's the biggest red flag you can get. If somebody's trying to warn me about you and you're saying, nah.
Yeah.
Just ignore them.
But even furthermore, like, you're pre-warning them to someone else's warning.
Yeah. Like, no. No. Like, if they come like and
Steve,
tell you.
Steve. If Sarah tells you that I was flirting with her, she's lying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just ignore it.
Yeah, it's not true.
She's trying that's gonna to make plant you, seeds in your head.
That's gonna make you initially go.
You're like,
what?
Okay. Like when you read that, I wasn't gonna point it out. I wasn't gonna say anything. I'm like, that's the most sus goddamn thing you can say.
It kind of is.
If there's a lot of beings out there, there are government agencies, there are religious agencies, there's your own family that is going to tell you that we're probably not good news, but
we are.
Just don't worry about it.
That is really messed up. And it's even just hearing you say that, the fact that we know at least CIA is involved, NASA's involved, Vatican's involved, and at least two presidents have been briefed on the Bledsoe case.
MUFON's involved.
Discovery Channel got involved.
Ghost hunting. Like, it's all paranormal altogether. And everybody that gets their hands in it, they're like, nah.
Yeah. But it's just crazy that there is an event. There is something going on where the Vatican and the CIA both have stake in it.
And both want nothing to do with it.
Also, fair point. Like, it blows my mind.
Even Discovery just dropped it. They could have made, like, that's true. Look at
what I did with the podcast and me writing.
Yeah, look at like all
five plus hours.
All of these paranormal shows that are out there now that they just run amok on. Look at Ghost Adventures.
Yeah, why aren't they revisiting Bledsoe?
Why didn't they make it into an entire, like, series, like you said, because you said it was short, like it was going to be a series?
Yeah, because, well, when I hit play on it and that episode ran of the Bledsoe encounter, it went to a completely different encounter. So, like, that was his.
Oh, so it was like one of. But they could have. There's enough information here.
Oh, yeah.
They could have made, like, a six-part series, but Discovery's right. Like, nah.
And we'll to be fair, I don't know if at this time when that documentary was going on, if he had had the lady experience yet.
Okay.
But nevertheless, look back. Yeah, look at what I did with the first encounter. I didn't have video either.
Yeah.
Or firsthand investigations, or his family's testimonies, or the guy's testimonies.
There is nothing more suspect than telling people, if someone comes up to you and tells you that I'm sus, I'm not.
Yeah, they're lying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's just
It's like a dude knocks on your door and he's like, yo, I need to stay here. I'm cool. If anybody else comes up and tells you that I just murdered their family, don't believe them.
Yeah. Okay. Come on in.
Okay, we got you.
Yeah. Yeah, it just, And like I said, there
add up.
I guarantee there's parts of the puzzle that we don't have, and maybe that aids in this conclusion. Maybe it doesn't. I don't know.
I just don't. When it started, that first statement they made, as soon as he mentioned God, and they're like,
yeah.
LOL. I said, we're dealing with something a little different here.
Yeah.
Especially,
and it seems to pan out that way, because even, like I said, even
when you said the angel remark, how they flipped the script and they're like,
yeah
dog,
that one definitely submitted
me. We're angels now.
Definitely Chris, submitted me.
Chris
in a way
believes
of
in gods and angels. We're gods and angels. Yeah. We'll roll right. with it. We got him locked in.
You know,
I hate it because I feel like they are being so manipulative. Like I said, it's like cosmic gaslighting. Like they're playing into his emotions. Like, as you can tell by the regressions, that he is so emotionally invested in this.
Oh yeah.
Like it affects him on a different level.
Another thing that if you think about it from this aspect too, when he met the mother in this Egyptian, whether it was Egypt itself or whatever the fuck it was, she was on essentially a throne propped above everything, right?
Yeah.
If you are a being or a force that wants to promote love and peace, would you do it by an elevated position? Would you do it from an iron fist? Like, you must follow what I say or there will be no peace.
Yeah, that's another thing.
You know what I'm saying? Because if she was all loving, because she talks about how the woman will rise, and it almost makes it sound like it's a fight for power.
Yeah.
And like maybe she is... We'll just pretend she's part of this Trinity, and there's the Father, the Son, and the Mother. She's almost making it sound like, well, now it's mom's time, okay? Now the women are going to rise.
Which also correlates with the, was it Hinduism or whatever? Like it's all going to change in
2025. Yeah, the age of darkness will end in 2025 and change in 2026.
Another thing that threw me off, that made me think of Max Spears, was when she asked about the Mother, he referred to her as human.
Yeah.
Which made me wonder if he was just talking about her form, like she looked human, or if she really was a human.
That's a good question.
Because that would play into some weird, like, governmental shit going on.
Yeah.
You know?
I took it as, like, her form was human.
Because I kind of did too, but then I'm like... Man, he sounded pretty sure.
Yeah, because she said she's human.
Yeah, which is not. Humans are not.
Yeah.
Omnipotent beings.
Yeah, it's just so weird.
Pretty trash.
And like going back to the way she's approaching it, like you can, especially from a woman, women are very compassionate. And they project their compassion a lot better than men do, right?
Yeah.
And you take that aspect on the fact that she's all powerful. He even says that she kind of shows him these images, right? Like I said, women are very compassionate, and she should be able to, instead of like being on this elevated and talking about rise and all these like hostile takeover type things, why can't she just like make you feel loved and show you images of love?
Yeah.
Versus like this powerful stance
Yeah. She totally could have took that narrative. All you need is love. If this culture of love takes over, everything will be okay.
Yeah.
But instead, she's like, if this culture of love doesn't happen, look at what's gonna happen.
Right. Yeah. It's just
obliteration.
Yeah.
If you don't do exactly what I want you to do, mass casualty.
Yeah.
Horror show.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, for a being that doesn't want anybody afraid, again, pretty weird flex.
Right.
Sending premonitions of God knows what to the dude, especially a number one, your spokesperson. You're sending him premonitions of horrific carnage. Things. Yeah. I don't. And even don't, it just doesn't.
Even
just
goes as far to give him the.
The date of the damn earthquake.
No, the Watchman scripture, which is from Joel the Watchman, saying if you don't blow the trumpet,
everybody's blood is on your hands.
It's on your hands.
Yeah, that's some heavyweight.
Yeah, that's not being very compassionate. Because, like, you know, I think about, like, just the representation of the woman and compassion. Like, there are times where I can be hyper angry or sad or whatever, and just my wife coming over, she didn't have to say anything. She could just put her hand on my arm, letting me know, like, hey, I'm here.
Yeah, like, I got you.
Yeah, and that is more than enough to kind of conquer most of the time what I'm going through. And then...
It just disengages you. Like,
yes, like, the women have that ability, and it's very, very special. But, like, what is going on here is this whole forceful narrative,
like...
Like, the more we talk about it, the more my brain is like, this might actually be really bad.
You do what we want you to do.
Yeah, and he's to the point now where he's vested. Like, he's like, I will not falter. I will not waver.
Oh, yeah.
I cannot fail.
It is like a blind loyalty to whatever these things are, which... Yeah.
I don't know.
Is terrible. It doesn't matter what it is. God, E.T., the cat from Pluto, a demon.
I hope it's the cat from Pluto.
The head of the Department of Defense, whoever this is, he is blindly loyal to them. And that's terrifying.
It sucks because, like I said, I've listened over 6 hours of this man talk, and he is fucking super genuine.
Oh, yeah.
He seems like the sweetest guy ever.
I don't doubt that he is encountering whatever he's encountering, but I don't think it has good intentions for him or for anyone else.
Oh, man.
I don't want it to be that way. I want it to be like...
What he
like,
says.
Yo, like, love, this, yeah, but for they, sure. They, like...
It's kind of a fucked up, old school way of looking at it. Like, it reminds me of, like, a king. Like,
yeah.
Follow me.
You will obey.
Follow me for peace.
This will happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, in you know, when Ryan references the deity.
It's like.
Yeah. Of Fatima. I mean,
it's
she
like
says.
Old Testament obey. God.
Yeah.
Is what it is.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like. Like, yeah. it's reverting back and play. Like it knew Bledsoe was a religious man. And then at first it took the Old Testament God where it's like, you do this or this happens. I will flood this motherfucker and drown everyone. And then it got into New Testament where everything's like forgive and love.
Right.
And it's almost like it's maybe when they're uploading stuff into his head, they're downloading stuff back and they're like.
You can almost guarantee that.
Yeah, this man is so vested in his religion, we can just mimic it and it'll just pull him that much further in.
And also think about how fucking terrifying that is. That statement you just made, when they're uploading, they're downloading.
Oh yeah.
Which is fucking terrifying.
At this point, like I'm on the page where something out there knows everything that's in my head.
Well, I'm sure that something's not even that far.
No. I apologize if you're reading my thoughts, but you chose this route.
That's another fucked up thing. Whenever he was on that ghost hunt, and he saw that entity with the green eyes, he said he started singing a song so they couldn't read his thoughts. Why were you trying to prevent them from reading your thoughts?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, what are we trying to hide here?
Yeah, and was the green-eyed entity, did he ever figure out, was that one of them?
I think so.
Then why don't you, if it's all love and you are 100% backing them, why don't you want them in your head? Why are you scared to have them? Like, you should be open arm.
Yeah.
I accept it. Like, why are you trying to keep them out? If they're all good, why are you trying to keep them out?
Yeah.
Why don't you want them there?
And then why did Dr. Pasalka have so much concern for you whenever all these government agencies were getting involved?
She said it's something bigger than you think.
Yeah. Like, but, there's a lot that doesn't make sense. A lot. I have way more questions than anything.
And I feel like the CIA is keeping tabs by having him send the information.
100%. And the fact that he got roped into all this shit, and I don't know, man.
It does. It makes you wonder, like, about the things that are going on now with NASA hiring all those religious heads to come in, and it's almost like everybody's trying to get their
ducks in a row.
Yeah, their hands straight before the next move goes.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
It didn't go the route I thought it was going to go, because I just thought it was going to be an abduction story.
Yeah, same.
But this...
100% thought the same thing.
Like alien abduction. I should say that.
Yeah, that's where I was at.
Because I'm with you. I don't think it's aliens.
No, I don't know what the fuck it is.
Like aliens in the context that we think are aliens.
Yes.
I the more I said it and the more it resonates with me, I think... I think something heard our prayers like via collective consciousness. And it's like, these people are in dire need of some help. And I can 100% take advantage of that.
Yeah.
And here we go.
Like, and realistically, like for me, the best way that I could describe the way you're describing, or I'm imagining, would more or less be a celestial.
Yeah, something
like something of a higher, like a way higher,
maybe, like,
yeah, like a way higher frequency or a way higher
now, or it was a whole group, like it was a whole race of beings that managed to intercept.
Possible.
And now they're just toying around. They're like
100% could be.
They're like, look at, like, it's like.
Like you said, the ant to a human.
Ants would look at us and be like, what in the fuck is that? And all we would have to do is drop a crumb of a potato chip, and they'd be like, oh my God.
Yeah.
They have this being has food falling from the sky.
Yeah.
Like,
or we step on them.
Yeah. This being washed out fucking 200 generations of our existence.
And just in a blink of an eye.
Yeah, that's I don't know.
I don't know.
Because after you and the guy from The Bump, I can't remember his name.
Bo,
after you and Bo had the conversation, and we were kind of talking about it, and talking about the power of words, and talking about spells, then, like, you go into, like, what is prayer? Well, prayer is essentially not that much different.
Yeah.
Than
an incantation.
And then I start thinking about collective consciousness and how we send prayers. We just throw them out there.
Yeah.
We just throw our intent and our need and our wants and our helps. We just toss it at the sky. Well, maybe God isn't in the sky. Maybe there's a bunch of horrific, terrible shit in the sky, and they're listening, and they heard.
So scary.
And they're going to decide to answer back, and then what the fuck are we going to do?
Yeah, and like...
Maybe they already have.
No, you're right, and...
And maybe the government and the Vatican aren't the bad guys. Maybe they're just trying to
damage control.
Keep everybody, like, shit's bad enough here on Earth, not having to think about some... galactic entity playing fuck games with us.
Right. And obviously the government and the Vatican know about these entities. They may not know what they are, where they're from, or what they're doing, but they know of them.
Because I'm not trying to be on the side of the government or on the side of the Vatican, but...
No.
The alternative in my brain, in this case, does not sound like the answer either.
Right. And like... Dude, this case had, like, is such a roller coaster for me, because when I was listening to the lady, like, I had so many of these, like, awesome feelings. Like she talked about guiding, and I'm like, well, dude, I feel like we've been guided since Egress.
Maybe she affects all of us.
It's possible. And then she's like, I will place people in front of you when the time's right. And I'm like, you know, when we talked to Bo about the fucking, all the proper timing, I'm like, are we being placed in front of Mr. Bledsoe to help his journey to to aid him in his travels. And then just the weird synchronicities with the Merlin comments. And then because sometimes Ryan comes in with these like way off topic things. And like he did that with the King Arthur thing, but it was relevant in my world.
It makes you wonder who's or what is pulling the strings for every person.
Yeah. And then every living and girl. Then when you take that King Arthur statement and pair it to what Charlie from the confessionals told us, because we were having that conversation with him about Egress and everything else. And I explained to him how I felt crazy, but I felt like we've been guided, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And what'd he say to us? Maybe you guys are soul brothers and you were meant to do this for all time. And here, I mean, I look at Steve like, what the fuck does this guy know that we don't?
Yeah.
Like, it's one thing for guys like you and me to make that comment, but for a man of that stature to say that with zero hesitation.
Yeah.
And then you have who could arguably be almost from the same vein, the CIA saying that, hey, Mr. Bledsoe might be a reincarnation of Merlin and you could be related to King Arthur. And like, it's like, what the fuck is actually going on out there?
That's you know what? You have wrapped it up in a box, in a perfect little Kyle compartment.
Like, what the fuck's going on out there?
What the fuck is going on out there? Because I don't know.
It's like, so weird.
The more, and now, I wish I wouldn't even have had the thought about prayer, because now it's eating my brain away.
Like just you, we're just pissing our thoughts in the wind, and something out there is going, got it.
Because you talk about,
and that's terrifying,
about consciousness and things, and all prayer is not a physical act. It's a total conscious act. Like you put your mind into it, and you just,
where the fuck was I reading that?
You send it.
Oh my God.
Out
in the fucking article we have. That thing that the guy sent us a while back. This conversation between the Chinese guy and the aliens.
Oh, I haven't even read that yet.
Huh?
I haven't read that yet.
I was just started reading it the other day because you remember when it came over and I translated all of it from Chinese to English. Da 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 da. It says in there that there's a specific thought form that's infinitely faster than the speed of light.
I believe that's how.
It's preferred communication between ETs or whatever the fuck it is and anything else. It's this.
See? I told you.
I don't know. It's really fucking weird.
I told you. Because, like, yeah, it's why do all aliens, quote unquote, decide to use telepathy to talk, to communicate with
right.
us? Right. Because I'm assuming, I don't know, it knows no bounds, it knows no lengths, it knows no speed, it just does. So we're, like I said, we're out here throwing all of our concerns, all of our fears, all of our hopes, all of our triumphs, we're thanking, we're asking, we are, like, questioning, and we're just projecting it out there. It's like when we sent radio signals, like, or when we sent the satellite, we're just gonna toss this motherfucker and see if somebody catches it. Well, what if you have 7 billion people consciously
thinking,
sending messages out into the cosmos and beyond the cosmos? We don't even know where thought goes.
No.
Thought could be tied to no bounds, you know? It could go any fucking place.
Yeah.
And we're like thinking about prayer, like our people pray about things that they're scared about.
Oh yeah,
all,
for sure.
All human fear.
That is kind of fucked up now you say that.
All human fears of us as a species, we are just shooting them out of there. We're like, here we go. This is what sucks. This is what we don't want. This is what we're scared of.
That's so bad. All
it takes is one shitty being.
Yeah.
To
that.
Like think about like Thanos. Thanos hears it and he's like, I'm in.
I got this.
I'm in.
I got this.
I'm 100% in.
Right here, and I'm not going to read it all, but it says that the person asks, you know, hey, how do we communicate with you? What's the wave frequency? Blah, blah, blah. And their reply was, it's a kind of deeper thought waves when humans are in thoughtless awareness just below the level of conventional thinking. And it's a kind of long waves emitted when the brain waves are in balance. It's a fast frequency and direct, and it's the medium of communication with aliens. Humans can use thought waves in this frequency to give out information by practice of staying, can't say that word, quiescence? There, right here. I have no idea. Yeah, I'm not smart. There are some methods for you Earthmen to achieve this, such as sitting still, praying, weird, praying.
Oh, damn.
Incanting, repeating in your mind.
That's awful.
That's fucked. Yeah, that's crazy.
Oh no.
And then this person says,
'cause I'm like, man, that sounds like meditation, or that sounds almost like hypnosis, but
like it directly relays like praying. Like it's like, yo, praying like is one of these ways of sending this information.
And if these beings want to be godlike, what better way to get all the information than to convince every religion to do the same thing, to get on that level,
yeah,
and put it out there,
yeah,
where they're just like, okay, here we, yeah, go, here we go. Everything that everybody's scared of, we've got it. We've got it. Which goes on further to make you think, man, maybe these things are interested in fear because,
well, it's control.
Yeah. Well, what most prayers are, please help me through this terrible time.
Yeah.
You know, my cousin is sick in bed and dying. Please help me do this. Or, right, this person is not good. Let's pray for them. And it's like, oh, dude, I don't know.
Hopefully it's not like a bartering method. Where they're like,
she was doing a lot of bartering in there. You do this for me, or, right, this is going to happen.
But real quick,
I hate that that's in there.
The person says, well, okay, how fast are these thought forms? Are these thought waves, frequencies, or whatever? And they're like, the alien's like, it's beyond the speed of light. It can arrive in an instant. Like, well, can you tell me an exact number? The reply is 1,036,000 sextillion kilometers per second.
I wonder if there is a correlation with that number.
I don't know.
Like to something in science.
So the person talking was like, that this number is different from what we Earthmen have known, which is 7.6 million kilometers per second.
What is 136?
1,036,000.
1,000 sextillion?
Kilometers per second. I don't even know what that, I don't know, that's fast. I wish my internet speed was that fast.
Yeah, me too.
But that's all I'll be reading from that. I am not going to dive into that anymore.
Damn, I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, I didn't either until now. I don't know. My brain's officially melted.
Dude, that's, like I said, I hate that I even thought that, because
all I know is that everybody's got some couple long ass episodes.
Oh yeah, I didn't realize this was an hour and a half again.
The other one was 2 hours.
I don't know. I think it's way more nefarious than Mr. Bledsoe thinks it is, and I hope.
I'm kind of falling in that camp. I am kind of falling in that camp.
Oh, check that out. It's on a Facebook group.
What is?
The exact statement.
Oh, really? No, that's the answer.
Yeah, but the question, this number is different from what we Earthmen have knew, which is 7.6 billion kilometers.
Yeah, that's what I have in the thing.
Yeah, which means it's posted on this.
Yeah, so they must have posted it somewhere else, too.
I don't even know what this is. Anyway.
About time to wrap her up.
Oh, great. The Giants are coming.
Yay.
We are going to end that there. Thanks for hanging out with us. for the last 20 million hours. But until next time, that wraps up the Bledsoe encounter.
And yeah, unless something new comes up.
I know we went off on some tangents there, but that's what we do.
Yeah.
So until next time, stay safe, stay weird. What the hell did you say to wrap it up in a little box?
What the fuck's going on out there?
What the fuck is going on out there?
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.